Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Have you ever heard the old adage, it's not what you know, it's who you know? Everyone knows that. We've spent eight weeks talking about faith. And one of my concerns, and when talking about faith, and I'm a teacher, and sometimes teachers, I'm a pastor teacher, and I'll hone in on something, and I'll hone in on faith. But I never want you to think that faith is a formula. And when you get into a formula, listen, there's so many formulas out there today. If people will guarantee things. So I thought I would come up with my own formula for single men. Single. You single men out there? Got single men out there? You single men? Yeah, thank you. There you go. There's one. He's in the market, I can tell you right now. So here's my formula. I got a formula for you. It's a formula. This is how to get a girlfriend. You ready for this one? Okay. And if it's an acronym, it forms the word badge. So I want you to get your man badge. B is be a leader. A, ask, initiate, don't wait. In other words, don't wait for a girl to ask you out, you ask them. D, don't come across as needy. See, the people that are clapping right now are all women. They're like, yes, that's exactly right. Okay, I haven't done it yet. G, go on with your life. Don't wait for them to text you. And E, engage. When you're there, be there. Isn't that pretty good? Badge. That's a formula. So you get your man badge, guaranteed to get you a girlfriend. Now you ought to have a problem with that. It's like, well, Alan, that's stupid. No, some of it's very true, but what's stupid is the idea that if you do all those things, you are going to get a girlfriend. There's principles involved there, and there's nuances involved in relationship. And so there's a whole lot more. I mean, you ought not to be going, okay, I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to ask you out. And then I'm not going to talk to you because I'm not needy. And you're laughing, but if you go on YouTube right now, I promise you there's a gazillion formulas. How to pick up women, how to be the perfect person, it's ridiculous. And you don't realize that relationships are nuanced. And so is our relationship with the Lord. It's not a formula. And so I just want to spend a little time. Let's talk about how do we improve our relationship with the Lord? Because you don't want to separate faith from your relationship with Him. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So let's talk a little bit about that. And we're going to see that's really, it was the crux of Paul. I went back because we looked at that verse in Thessalonians where Paul was talking about how is your faith. And I just went back and just felt impressed to go back and look at how many times in that 5-chapter book that Paul talks about God, the Lord, Himself, the Holy Spirit, 84 times he mentions God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus, the Lord, Himself. And you see that weaved all through this, Paul had a relationship. And the reason I say that, sometimes people say, well, okay, I'm going to get my verses. I'm going to read my verses. It's going to cause faith. Listen, I have verses I go over almost every day. Verses that I speak, verses I pray over, verses I speak. But I don't separate that from my relationship with the Lord. They're not just a formula. I'm going to do these verses. I'm going to say these verses. Same things are going to happen. No, I'm connecting with the Lord on that. It's a relationship. And so I just want to go over some things with you on that because I want you to understand that really the joy of our Christian walk is our relationship with the Lord. that's what brings joy to it. If you say, how long have you and Joy been married? Well, Joy and I have been married 43 years. That's a woo. Yeah, that's a... And if I looked at you and said, yeah, we're married, but we don't talk at all? No. Well, every now and then. You ready to go? What's for dinner? If I told you that Joy and I never talked, you would think, something's wrong there. Something's wrong in that relationship. And so the joy of being married for 43 years is you learn to work together. You learn to communicate with one another. And I can honestly tell you, I love her more now than I did when I met her. And so that's the joy of having a relationship. But it ought to be that way with the Lord, that we talk to him, that we have a relationship, that we love Jesus more now than we did when we met him. Amen. And so, but that just adds so much to things. Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was like a son of his. And he reminded of Timothy of what he was, of what was in him. So I want you to watch this as he's talking to Timothy. 2 Timothy, 1st chapter. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Anybody know that verse? That's a great one, isn't it? God has not given us. He's talking about the gift of God. Actually, if you really look at it, he was talking about that Timothy was filled with the Holy Spirit when Paul laid hands on him. He said, for the Holy Spirit is not timid. He's not cowardly. He's a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So he's reminding Timothy of who is in him. And then he continues. So he said, listen, the one who's in you, Timothy, is not afraid. So he goes on. Here's the next verse. He said, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So now he's talking about not being ashamed of the Lord. He said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And he talked about the sufferings for the gospel. Now, just for clarification purposes, the suffering for the gospel is not you being sick or having a disease or being mentally oppressed or being destitute and just traumatized. That's not the sufferings that Paul is talking about. The sufferings for the gospel that Paul was talking about was the fact that he got opposed and people came against him. Now, he actually dealt with physical problems. I mean, they beat him numerous times. And so some of that was suffering for the gospel. Now I hear people say, well, you know, I've got cancer. I guess I'm suffering for the gospel. That did not come from God. He's not the one putting cancer on people. He's the one healing people of the cancer that the enemy puts on them. And so that's not what we're talking about. But he told Timothy, he said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed to tell people that you belong to the Lord, that you have a relationship with him. Let me go back to the dating thing real quick. I've talked to people. I used to be a singles pastor at Lakewood. And I would have people that would come in, they would talk to me, and they would say, oh, I met this really great guy. I went, oh, that's nice. Here's my first question. Is he a believer? And if they hesitated, it was not good. If they said, I think so. I went, how long y'all been dating? 3 months. I'm going to go with no. You ought to be able to figure that one out first date. If the Lord's important to you, you're going to keep that in the background? That's why Paul said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. In fact, ladies, that's a great way to weed them out. I love Jesus. What about you? You can separate the sheep from the goats right there. But Paul told him, he said, don't be afraid. But then he says something that really is the crux, the foundation of Paul's confidence. It's in this verse as he continues, 2 Timothy 1. Here it is. He said, of which I was talking about the gospel, he said, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things, the persecution, the things he dealt with. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. How in the world could Paul go through all the difficulty he went through? It wasn't because that ministry was an occupation. It wasn't because ministry was a career move. It was because he knew who he believed. He knew who had saved him. He knew who had redeemed him. He knew who was the most important thing in his life. He said, I know whom I believe. When you know who you believe, then what we go through doesn't matter near quite as much. If someone said, Alan, are you married? I went, yeah. Yes. I'm sorry, what was that? Yeah. Where's your wife? I don't know, she's over there somewhere. If Joyce saw that, she'd go, what is your problem? What, like, you think you're something special? I'm not ashamed of her. She's not ashamed of me. But I tell you who, neither one of us is ashamed of Jesus. And it'll help you. It'll help your faith. Just to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not ashamed of you. I love you. And I don't mind who knows. So Paul was talking, he said, but I know whom I believe. The more we know him, the less we're pressured by the world. Listen, I remember I worked in a corporate setting. And I'm not saying that I sit down at my desk when I would come in the morning and go, praise Jesus, glory to God. I didn't. My pastor, John Osteen, would. He was a fiery little dude. He said he walked in the gym one time, brand new to the gym, set his stuff down to get ready to work out. He goes, glory, hallelujah, praise you, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Everyone looked at him like he's crazy. He said, I just want everybody to know where I stood. He got on an elevator one time. Some people were cussing. He said they were all smoking cigars and cussing. And he said they were taking the Lord's name in vain. He finally just said, Lord, I want to praise you and bless you and glorify you. You are Jesus. You are Lord. He said the elevator doors opened and they just went. Now, that's how you clear a line at Christmas. You just walk into the post office line and go, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. They will clear out for you. I'm not suggesting you do that. His testimony. Paul believed that Jesus would help him, and Paul's testimonies in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, at my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged to them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. If you listen to Paul, if you listen to his writings, you listen to how often he talks about his relationship with the Lord. He said, I went through a difficult time. He said, but the Lord stood with me. And then I love what he said when he said, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Now, what he's saying there, that's his faith talking. He said, the Lord stood with me. I was delivered. I love that. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I don't know about you, but that's way too close for me. Out of the mouth of the lion. He said, but the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Listen, that's when you begin to say, and that's such a wonderful thing to begin to say, is God will help us. We may be going through a difficult time. I know the Lord has helped me in the past, but I believe he will help me in the future. I believe he will help me with my family. I believe he'll help me in my marriage. I believe he'll help. Do you see what I'm saying? Expressing that. But we're talking about someone that we know. Jesus is not just a philosophy. He's real. And he will stand with you, and he will strengthen you. And your confidence is not necessarily in you, it's in him. I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded he's able, he's going to help me going forward. So, this is where we want to go to. This is what we want to develop. Now, Jesus asked a question of the disciples, Matthew the 16th chapter, Matthew 16. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Let's take a look at this just for a second. Jesus is asking, who do men say that I am? And the answers were all over the map. So who do people say that I am? John the Baptist. I think at this time, John the Baptist had already been beheaded. Jeremiah was dead. Elijah was dead, one of the prophets. So these people had this idea that Jesus was John the Baptist come back from the dead, or one of the prophets come back from the dead. People got 1,000 opinions of Jesus. The Pharisees said that Jesus was demon possessed. And so when we're talking about who do people say that he is, now here's another thing. Same thing applies today. Same thing. People say, well, yeah, I love the Lord Jesus. People say, oh, Jesus. They do everything from deny his existence to, have you heard this one? He was a great teacher. He was a great moral leader. He was a great philosopher. Anyone that begins to say that, almost every time, they do not know what he said. They don't know him, and they don't know what he said. Because Jesus can't be a great teacher or a great moral person and say what he said and be sane. If I looked at you today and said, I need you to understand something, people, in this church. I am the best looking man in the entire world. I didn't get a single woo on that, so I'm going to... The reason I didn't get a woo on that is because it's absurd. But if I am convinced of that, I am the best looking man. Alan, you're really not. No, I am the best looking man. Alan, you never really were. I am the best looking man. Even in your best day, Alan, which was 40 years ago, you were in anybody that's not there. But if I'm convinced of that, you would walk out of here and go, something's wrong with Alan. I think he really thinks he's the best looking man in the world. Even his wife doesn't believe it, but he believes it. You would think that's kind of crazy. And if I kept up that stuff, you'd start to question me even as a pastor. I don't even think he's right. Something's happened. He hit his head. Something went on. Well, listen, that pales in comparison with what Jesus said. When he walked the earth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I'm the light of the world. He who believes in me will never die. He said, he's the Savior. Listen, you can't say all those things and be a great teacher. You either is or you ain't. And he is the Son of God, and he is the way and the truth and the life, and he is. So this is when you hear other people. Listen, don't let people who don't know him tell you about him. If you don't know Joy, you can't tell me about her. I know Joy. I know she's mean as a snake. No, you don't know her. You don't know her. I know her. So don't let people who don't know Jesus tell you about him. So Jesus asked his disciples. He said, well, who do people say I am? Well, you're John the Baptist. You're a prophet. But then he asked the key question. He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter piped up, said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And he looked at Peter and went, you're blessed, brother. That's good. Now, here's the thing that encourages me. Peter made a bunch of mistakes. Peter did stupid stuff. Peter was the one who told Jesus, I'll never deny you, and did. If Peter can get a revelation, that means I'm a candidate to get a revelation. That means so are you. And so he said, listen, flesh and blood hadn't revealed this. He said, but who do you say? Now, here's the thing. It's not what other people say. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say he is? Now, it's okay if you go, you know, I'm fairly new to this, and I believe he's Lord. I believe he's Savior. I believe he's good. But you can take that further. And you can begin to discover that he's your, I tell you what, in our family, he's been our healer. Amen. He's been our provider. Yes. He's been the Lord, our shepherd. Yes. He's been the comforter, yes. The one who's helped us when we've gone through difficult times. Yes, I didn't think pastors went through difficult times. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our family has gone through times. And there's been loss and there's been trauma. But there's been someone who's been right there. When Joy and I got married, we said a verse out of Ecclesiastes that a rope of three strands is not quickly torn apart. And we've always said if we kept Jesus in the center of our marriage, then maybe she's a strand, I'm a strand, he's that third strand. Rope builders will tell you that a three-stranded rope is really the strongest because each strand touches the other one. And there have been times when I have frayed and Joy has frayed, and he's been the strand that has not frayed and has kept us together. Who do you say that Jesus is to you? Now, maybe you've never thought about that. And maybe you think, I never have said much. This is how you can begin to develop your relationship with him. That you spend some time with him. When you read your Bible, you read your Bible 365, because everybody here reads Bible 365. And when you read that, and a verse stands out to you. And by the way, I'm going to get to it next week. I'm going to talk to you next week about the one thing that has helped me more than anything else in 25 years in my relationship with the Lord. So come back. Don't miss that one. But you can begin to talk to him and refer to him as who he is. Thank you, Lord. So I don't even know where to start. Start with the 23rd Psalm. Just take the 23rd Psalm and don't just read it. Talk to the Lord about it. Lord, you are my shepherd. You take care of me. You watch over me. You lead me. You leave me in green pastures. Not scarce. You make me lie down by still waters where I can drink. Lord, you restore my soul. There are so many things that tear at our soul. He restores. Thank you for restoring my soul. And you can just take the Bible and you could begin to say, thank you. You're the restorer of my soul. You're the one who leads me. You're the one who's providing. You're the one who, when I go through a hard time, I know you're with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thank God I'm not alone. Because you are with me. What are you doing? This is what you're saying about him. See, it's not what your mom says. It's not what I say. It's what you say about the Lord that deepens that relationship with him. Does that make sense? I just believe that we're seeing God do some things, guys. And we're seeing people, but they don't want religion. And they don't want fake. They want a real relationship with a living Savior who can make all the difference in their life. And I believe God, he's moving. He's moving all over the world. He's moving here. We're seeing our young people, man. We're reaching young people left and right. And so God's doing something. But we don't want to just catch on to a formula or a religion. We want a living relationship with him. You don't have to quit your job and stay home and pray all day. In fact, I would strongly advise you not do that. But I advise that you would just carve out a little bit of time. And when you read your Bible, maybe just slow it down just a little bit. Talk to him about it. And that talk to him like he's real, because he is. And like he hears you, because he does. You know, I'll close with this. I thought it was always humorous. Pastor in a little church invited one of the deacons up to the front. He said, by the way, y'all have any deacons? No. No deeks. And he had written down some cuss words on a piece of paper. He said, did you read this? Deacon looked at that and went, no, I'm not reading that. He said, no, I really want you to read this. He said, I'm not going to read this. We're in church. He said, what's the big deal? He said, we're in church. The Lord will hear me. And the pastor took it back. He said, isn't it sad that we think the Lord hears us when we cuss, but we don't think he hears us when we pray? Now, but I believe we're different. I believe we're a people that know we got a good Savior. He'll hear us. and he'll hear you. And your relationship with him can deepen and strengthen and improve. That's my prayer. That you would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here or watching online and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. Or maybe you're like I was. You did, and you got away from him, and you know you're away, and he knows you're away, but you don't want to stay there. You want to come back, and he'll welcome you with open arms. So if that's you, we're going to say a prayer. Now, I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come down to the front, but we're going to pray. And if you want in on this prayer, here's the one thing I'm going to ask you to do. Just slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you really wanted to, you can pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray it out loud. You can pray it out loud with us and pray it from your heart. If you're online, if you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly, but pray this. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you for those, Father, who made the move toward you and the ones who've come back. And Lord, we just thank you for the salvation that's in Jesus. Thank you for the grace that's in Jesus, the mercy that's in Jesus, the forgiveness. Thank you for what you have done for us. So many of us wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for you. So we give you all the praise tonight. We ask that you would strengthen and encourage everyone who names your name. You know them, you love them, you care about them. You have a plan for them, and it's good. Lord, we'll give you all the praise. We'd be praising you now. We'd be praising you 1,000 years from now. But thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.